We know the joy of giving is its own reward. But who says you can't get something for yourself, too? Now when you buy vanilla Visa gift cards, you can enter to win one of over 10 prizes every week for 10 weeks, including a grand prize of $10,000 in vanilla gift cards. So get gifting and start sharing the delight for more chances to win. Go to get-gifting.com to learn more and enter for your chance to win. Cards are issued by the Bancorp Bank, MetaBank, and Sutton Bank, members FDIC, pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc., and may be used in the U.S. everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Terms and conditions apply. Cards distributed and serviced by Income Financial Services, Inc., which is licensed as a money transmitter by the New York State Department of Financial Services. NMLS ID number 912772.
We are here once again for the next episode of the Palisades Podcast. I'm Steve Cronin.
And I'm not, thank God. This is Brooke Daugherty from the Young Angels Network,
We're
happy to come to you today in my dreams.
You wish. In any event, we are also here with a special guest, Anthony Margulis. Anthony is a well-known real estate agent in the Palisades, a philanthropist, somebody I've known for many years, and we're here today to find out a little bit about Anthony, about his career and how he runs his real estate practice. So welcome.
Thank you, Steve, Brooke. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. These are amazing offices. I had to commute a long ways to get here.
We're at Wells Fargo Bank on Sunset in the Palisades.
And thankful for their generosity.
Very nice of them.
Thank you, Nick.
So before we start, let's get a little bit about your background, where you're from, how you ended up here.
Sure. I grew up in the Palm Springs area, where it's
hot.
It's almost as hot as it is outside now.
Today, yes. This
is 100 degrees outside in the Palisades.
It's cooler in Indio today than it is here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So I grew up in the desert, and my parents live out in the desert, and they were very active in philanthropy and kind of learned from them and modeled their behavior. I went to boarding school at Thatcher. Had to have a horse.
That's in Ojai?
In Ojai, yeah. Sure. Can you see me on a horse?
No.
Kind of.
No, I can't.
I can see you guys on horses.
I can't picture that.
Can you? No.
No.
Why did you end
Jewish
up going?
Jewish guys don't normally ride horses, do they?
Yeah. Yeah. They don't fix things either.
Yeah, that's true.
What were your parents thinking?
I think they wanted us out of the house. That's what I think. I have three siblings, and all four of us went to boarding school. So it wasn't one of those punishing boarding schools. It was a academic. It wasn't like we were in trouble.
And have you continued your love of horses?
No. Just did it for a year.
But you always sponsor the polo tournament.
We do. Good tie-in there, bro.
Yeah.
For 20 years, we've sponsored the polo. We won it once, actually twice in 20 years. So it's a great
I think
event.
Wells Fargo, who won
Wells
it this year?
Wells Fargo won it this year.
Yay.
They're the title sponsor.
Well, good.
So that's a plug for Wells.
They can use it.
We're in the right place.
Okay.
Invest in their CDs.
Then what happened after Thatcher?
Then I went to college at UC Riverside, the well-known UC, you know.
Right.
Riverside, UCLA, Berkeley, in that order.
Right.
Yes,
hey.
Yes, in that status order.
In that order. I was very, I wasn't that academic. So for my kids, if they're listening, I didn't have a very high GPA.
He didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He didn't party.
No. But I was very involved in a lot of clubs and activities. So I was very fortunate to be honored as the Volunteer of the Year for the city of Riverside when I was in college. We did several thousand hours of community service, helped put a stoplight in at the busy intersection, raised a lot of money through a lot of different organizations. I was active or president of four or five organizations, and so my grades were not as high as they should have been. I was more interested in doing other things.
But you graduated.
So I did. Yes.
And then what happened?
And then
did you meet your wife in college?
I met my wife outside of college. Yeah, she was. Do you know that? You know the story.
I want you to tell the story.
Okay.
This is not just the two of you talking. There may be, hopefully, some other people that listen to this.
No, this is a good story.
This is okay. So I got diagnosed with cancer a couple years out of college, rhabdomyosarcoma. I had stage four.
What is that?
What is that?
It's a soft tissue cancer, and it was stage four.
How did you know?
I was training for a marathon and had numbness in my right. When I turned my neck to the right, I'd have numbness in my right side. And so they diagnosed it as a tumor in my neck. It was not able to be operated on. So I had treatment. And fortunately, the good news, not to make everyone... actually a good story.
Yeah.
My wife was my nurse in the hospital. She was my oncology nurse. And I was at a children's hospital up at Stanford. And I was the oldest patient by probably 15 years. I was 26 years old and have identical twin brother. And I used his bone marrow and met my wife and married her. And
what are the chances of having an identical twin brother?
Well, I actually...
Do you want to know the statistics? Yeah. I think we can.
No, I mean, but there's so many people that try for successful bone marrow transplants, and they're just and it's just such a search.
Brooke, we did not know. Actually, there's a trivia game where you play ask three questions, and one of the questions is, I found out when I was 26 years old that I was an identical twin, because we did not know we were identical. We were premature, and at the time, 50 some years ago, they didn't do the testing, so we thought we were fraternal. We looked similar, but we didn't know definitively we were identical until my bone marrow transplant when they had to test it.
Man.
So I was 26 years old, and then I found out I had identical twins.
And your brother didn't have anything similar?
No. No, no, no.
Not since, or?
No, no, not since.
And the bone marrow transfer?
Yeah, transfer.
Took care of it.
Yeah, took care of it all. Yeah, and so I know I'm hair. I'm like you. I got the very beautiful
dome,
glistening.
Your brother too?
No, he has a full head of hair.
Seriously, so
it's thinning.
Bald.
It's thinning a little bit. I tease him.
You're completely bald, and yeah. He's got a full head of hair.
Yeah.
How did you with your wife? When did it transform from patient nurse to
Brooke?
What
this
I'm just
getting like.
Really?
I'm just one
this,
of these.
This is really personal.
I mean, no. I mean, I think everybody would want to know that.
Wow. I don't know.
I
mean, did you? She saw you at your absolute.
She did break some ethical rules there. You're not supposed to be dating your patient
in the hospital. She did.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you were pretty sick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, did she?
What happened was my father actually went to my. My wife, my nurse at the time, and said,
Let me guess. Stop molesting my son?
No, he said, it may cheer Anthony up if you go visit him because, you know, he likes you and that kind of thing. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it was a...
Yeah. That's what happened, yeah.
Oh, my.
And how long have you been together?
26 years.
And
so the cancer is completely
cancer's
gone.
All gone, yeah. It's all gone.
And you've got work. and the other interesting thing about you and your family, if I remember correctly, is that you guys are members of both Corpus and KI.
Yes. Brooke knows a lot about
which I think is really cool.
Yes. She did her homework.
Yes,
I've known you
your
since
Catholic,
94.
My wife's Catholic. We're cashews. If you've heard of Catholics and Jews, cashews.
You haven't heard
you know,
that.
Snip and dip. Have you heard of that? You know, it's kind of a little.
Yeah, the snip,
that's
I guess.
That's my best line, and you're not even lying.
What's it? Wait, what's the dip? The snip and dip?
Snip and dip? Is the baptism and the, you know.
Oh, the snip and dip. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're circumcised and baptized.
So, no, we're very active at Corpus Christi, and we're very active at KI. And our kids are raised with both. So they got the double dose of Hebrew school and Catholic school.
And guilt.
And guilt.
And shame. Yes. They
and
have
shame.
Both guilt and shame.
That's exactly right.
Wow. So they are super privileged.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, guilt
they,
and
when
shame.
When they were raised, they were younger. They were introduced themselves as half Christmas, half Hanukkah. Because that's what kids know, the gifts.
Chrismica.
Yes.
Which is about to descend upon us.
Steve's shaking his head right now.
Yeah,
he doesn't know what to make of all this.
That's an interesting story. I never knew that about you.
Well, I would see Anthony at KI, and I'd say, oh, you know, Anthony Margulis is Jewish. And then I'd go to Corpus for something, and there would be Anthony. And I'm like, wait, maybe he's Catholic.
Yeah, and then I go to the Mormon events, and then I go to the Muslim events. I'm, you know, just, what are you going to do?
You're around town.
Yes. I love to support a lot of great causes.
So you meet your wife, you... have some period of time you're seeing each other and you finally get married.
Yes.
And that's been, what'd you say, 20?
She's going to kill me if I don't know the exact
you
year.
I
should know the exact year.
Do you know the date?
Date
is it
married?
Between 10
August
and 20 years?
1992.
Okay.
So 25 years.
And did you go into real estate right away?
I started a real estate development company about 2 years. I got diagnosed with cancer when I had my real estate development company. And then I started a mortgage company a couple years after that, and then started my residential brokerage a year after that.
Always here in the Palisades?
Originally started in the Valley and then relocated to the Palisades. Yeah.
So when in 1994, which was the year that we moved to the Palisades, I started a little business doing marketing, and there was this young guy named Anthony who had started this little tiny real estate business on Sunset with, I think, what, one other guy?
Yeah, it was called AM Realty.
Realty, and we did his logo and some marketing materials, and you have come such a huge long way since then.
All because of Brooks Logos. That's what did it.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that.
I want you to talk about how you've always given back to the community. Your name's always on everything. You support everything. I know in the last 3 years you've raised given over $500,000 in commissions to the organizations that you support. But I'm interested in, for the younger people, how you started off giving back when you really didn't have that much to give.
What I realized was I didn't have a lot of money, but I had my time and my expertise. And what I realized was I started off giving 100% of the commission from two sales to charity because I didn't have much money to give, but I knew that I could give my time. So we did that. We gave to the Palisades Parade. That was one of the first large donations that we had done.
It's important to help poor people in the Palisades.
Yeah. Well, that's why we decided to
Palisades is one of his
Steve's very sarcastic over here. Let's see.
So how did you...
We just started.
You've got five that you support. So it's Make-A-Wish.
I have four kids and I have five
charities.
Yes.
So it's PATH, Make-A-Wish,
Yeah, well, we
Homeboy.
Decided we hired a business charitable consultant and they helped direct our business model. They basically patterned it after one. We chose five charities from each major area. So for health, it's American Cancer Society. For animals, it's SPCA. For homelessness, PATH. For kids, is Make-A-Wish. And then Homeboy Industries is local. And so we really wanted to make a more impactful difference. We used to let our clients pick any charity, and it was about 50 different charities we were supporting, and it wasn't as impactful. And so now, this year, we're on track, this year alone, to give over $200,000. And my goal is to growing my team is that we can start giving $500,000 per year away. And it's not so much the money. It's really the, you know, for example, in the last year, we've helped 142 animals that we've rescued from the SPCA, through the SPCA. We've helped 130 cancer patients with 1 week of lodging while they get their cancer treatments, along with funded three wishes through Make-A-Wish. It's about $10,000 a wish. And then we've helped one former gang member with getting counseling and career guidance for a year. So it's not the money. It's really those personal connections that really drives. And we have some very young members on our team, on my sales team. They're 23, 24 years old. And to see them be able to give a $7,000 check, when most people that age, that's half their year's income.
Right.
And
it's pretty amazing.
Do you let your clients pick which of the charities?
We let the client pick. That's exactly right, Steve.
Among those five.
Among those five. We could try and give it to the Steve Kahn charity, but I don't know if they
tell us about.
I think that would be something. You could have six charities instead of five.
Now, my wife is very supportive of us doing this, but with four kids heading to college, she's a little she's glad we're doing this, but she'll be glad
just
when our
tell
kids
them
are
to
out
apply
of
to the over to be overqualified for the schools they apply to and just take the ride so you can continue with your philanthropy.
Okay.
What's the national thing that you're doing?
The philanthropy is a big part of what we do and the modeling behavior. So we started a 10% giving pledge challenge to every real estate agent and company in the country. So we believe in the next few years, our small office, we have six agents, we will be giving somewhere in the $2 to $3 million range. And with 1.1 million agents in the country, if we can get a lot of people on board, and we're starting to see it now, I've done a lot of podcasts, I've done a lot of interviews and at conferences to get other real estate agents to give back the 10% as well, we can raise hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to charity. Right now, the average agent gives between $100 and maybe 1%, and that's only on a sporadic basis. So if we can start giving 10%, and it makes sense giving back to the community that you're selling houses to.
And have you ever done any, an in-depth study to figure out whether some of your clients come to you because they're attracted by your charity?
Yeah, we have. I haven't done a formal study, but we do have people that approach us. All of our signs on our properties, it announces a 10% to charity. And I think people, we could get the same publicity if we gave 2, 3, or 4%. So the fact that we're giving 10%, I think they realize that it's important and it's sincere and it's genuine.
So that seems to me like a great way to promote it on a national basis, because you can make the argument, which isn't apparently totally false, that, you know, this will help your business. It's not just, you don't have to do it as a self-sacrificing thing. You can do it with the idea you're going to help people, but you're also going to get some business from people that might not have come to you otherwise.
Steve, it's a good point. Make-A-Wish has put together a case study that we're going to have completed in the next couple weeks, and it basically analyzed from the business perspective whether it's the free advertising or whether it's clients coming to you and saying, I really believe in what you did. You know, my family member just passed away from cancer. I had a pet that just passed away, and it really resonated with me. And so the case study is actually doing proven results, so we can go to a lot of these businesses and say, look, this is what it's done for our business. We've been very fortunate. We've been in the top, we're for 3 years in a row, we've been the number one real estate agent in the Palisades. And whether the charity was the reason or not, it's definitely helped.
But at least you can make the argument that you're not losing any money by giving it away because you're getting more business.
Correct. And I think you get as much as you give, and but you can't go into it thinking you're going to get something from it. I would love to give almost all of it away.
And I would love to have it, and I will gladly accept it. The Steve Crone Charitable Trust.
There we go.
I want to ask him some real estate questions.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes, okay.
Business.
Okay. No. Just stuff I know. I have various people that asked me to ask these questions.
Oh.
Okay. From the dog park in the Highlands.
Is the market going up or down?
No. So I am a member of the dog park in the Highlands. The only club I've ever really
Your
wanted to be.
Your dog's a member, you mean?
My dog's a member.
Okay, because if you're a member, how does that work?
You should hear her bark.
Yeah. Woo. Okay, so we all want to know up there about this assisted living development, and is it going to hurt?
What does it have to do with the dog park?
Well, because that's
it's
where I talk to all my Highlands people, is in the
dog
park.
That's where they're talking.
We do like laps, and we talk, and people, you know,
you heard it here first.
There's a lot of
dog park is being converted to
not the dog park, but we hear people that are friends of the developer, and we hear people.
I heard it was elderly dogs that are being put.
Yes, that would be really well received. I think
I heard they have to
assisted dog living.
Let's hit every hot topic in the Palisades while I'm here.
Okay, I want to know about that. So, and then is Caruso going to...
We can talk about gun control, abortion, what do you
want
to
talk about? No, I want to know about
the assisted living.
And then the Caruso thing, and then people that want to retire.
I'm a big fan of if the community needs something to have that available. And I know it's hard for a lot of people to change, but the Palisades is changing, and the demographics is changing. And I think given that there aren't too many other... elder care or assisted living around, other than I think the one on Sunset, but I think this may be a different facility offering different amenities. Mm-hmm. If the community wants it, I think it's important to have.
Do you think it will hurt value in the Highlands, or do you think it's negligible?
I don't think it will. I mean, the reality is the Palisades has appreciated 90% since 2011. Those are pretty staggering numbers. So when you have a 90% appreciation after 6 years, obviously people love the Palisades. I think the Highlands will have what's called an outlier effect, that we'll see that in Sunset Mesa, in Constellamar, and in the Highlands. Once Caruso's development gets finished, I think there'll be an outlier effect. People will not much want all the congestion being near the village, and I think they'll gravitate to some of the other quieter areas, and I think we'll see a little bit of a price appreciation, a little bump in some of those other neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. And so for people that are looking at retirement and wondering, you know, is now the time to sell? Is the bubble going to hold? Could the bubble get any bigger?
I think it's a great time to sell. I'd be a little nervous buying now unless you get a really good value. I know a lot of brokers in the community wouldn't want me to say that, but when you're buying it close to the peak of the market, you got to be very, very careful.
How do you know where the peak is?
You don't know. All you can look at the historical data.
You can keep going up a hill and the peak can be higher and higher. Doesn't mean that because you're...
Yeah,
you're
all I'm basing it is historical data. So historically, we've been in an appreciating market for 6 years. We've had the highest rate of appreciation without a slowdown. So it's not if, it's when. So the question is, will it be in a year? Will it be in 2 years? But it will happen. The last recession from 2008 to 2011, Palisades dropped 20 to 25%. And a lot of people don't remember that. Plus, when you buy a property, you have to sell it for a minimum of 6% more than you bought it for just to break even to cover closing costs. So people have to factor that in as well. But
then the other factor is that if you're buying it as a home to live in, you're probably more willing to say, okay, it may go down a little bit in value. It's where I'm going to spend my time. And
if you're young.
Yeah. Well, every 10-year period in Los Angeles, property values have always appreciated.
So but that would
get
make
in trouble
it,
when they have to sell.
So that
bottom.
Would make it 2017, though. I mean, some
we're
people
in
are
2027.
Saying
we're in 2017.
No, I know that's 10 years from 07.
Oh. Yeah,
which
2011
is
was the bottom of the
okay.
market. 2008 was the peak.
So where do you start counting the 10 from?
All I'm saying is, any 10-year period in Los Angeles, if you purchase real estate, it is always appreciated, historically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So. People get in trouble when they have to sell. That's what happens. So
talk a little bit about how the demographics of the Palisades have changed since 94.
We're seeing a lot more bigger homes. We're seeing a lot more construction. Right now, 20% of the active inventory in the Palisades is new construction.
Wow.
Normal is about 5%. So imagine that, 20% of the active inventory in the Palisades is new construction, and normal is 5%.
And is a lot of that, in just my random driving around, I've seen so much of that in the alphabet streets.
It's all over. A lot of it we see in the alphabet streets. Land right now in the alphabet streets, Via Bluffs and El Medio Bluffs, trades for over $400 per land foot. So we're talking $400 per land foot. So a 5,200 square foot lot in the alphabet streets is going to trade a little over $2 million. Mm. A 6,500 square foot lot with a teardown on it is going to trade for about $2.3 to $2.4 million.
Before you put anything on it?
That's just the dirt. That is just the dirt.
Wow.
And to put it in perspective, it's all about location, location, location. The Highlands right now is averaging $600 per foot, not land foot, but house per square foot. And the rest of the Palisades is $1,100 a foot. So the Highlands, you can buy...
Bargain.
You can get 50%, yeah. Actually 100% more home if you do the math. A home in the Highlands that would go for $3 million would go for $6 million
right.
typically.
So what we're seeing on Michael Lane is a lot of older people selling and new young people in their 20s and 30s coming in, gutting, like completely gutting, putting in $250,000, making it beautiful, and feeling like they got the best deal on earth.
It's the only place they can afford. And
yeah.
We're seeing a lot of entry-level, first-time home buyers, The Highlands is a great value right now, really good value.
But who are the young people that can afford that?
Are you talking about the Highlands?
Anywhere in the Palisades.
You know, it's interesting. The issue isn't so much the monthly payments. People think it's the monthly payments. It's not. It's the down payment.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have to, when you're the average price of a home right now in the Palisades is $4.1 million. That's the average price of a home in Pacific Palisades today. In 2011, it was $2.1 million, and now it's $4.1 million. So the issue isn't so much the monthly payments. It's the down payment, and where do you come up with that money? A lot of times it's family help. A lot of times maybe they sold a business. We have a lot of people in finance, investment bankers, venture capital.
Which is different because it used to be years ago when I came here that a lot of those little houses on El Medio and in the Alphabet Streets were just had been there since, you know, the 50s. And I'm guessing those are mostly gone.
Surprisingly, there's enough homes that are at the age that are maybe 1930s to 1950s that are maybe 1,100 square feet that developers could be building for the next 20 years in the Palisades.
Wow.
It's kind of scary. You go up and down the Alphabet Streets, and there's probably right now 300 properties that could be conceived to be torn down in the Alphabet Streets, and that's why developers are jumping on the Palisades because they know Caruso's development. They know that when we have a next recession, Caruso's development is going to buffer it, mm-hmm. and we won't drop as much. But there's not another area on the entire west side where you have $50 to $80 million investment in the center of town that's going to really offset any slowdown that we have.
Awesome. And he's a really philanthropic guy too, by
he's
the
amazing.
Way.
Amazing. Yeah, he's done well.
I think he's awesome. He's really taking care of the things he believes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, he's great. Yeah.
And I think the way they've handled the whole development has been exemplary. The way they've community outreach and meetings and gatherings to listen to what people wanted. And it sounds like, you know, people wanted a theater and they're going to call it the Bay Theater, like the old one that used to be in the Palisades. So it sounds like they've listened to a lot of the suggestions and incorporated them into their new project.
Yeah, they've done great. And I heard they're ahead of schedule. So, to July, they're saying.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Pretty great. Nice.
I would love to be away. In one of those houses that you could, that, you know, that's a walk away.
Well, yeah. But you don't know. It may be noisy, maybe traffic. You may think too many people hanging around.
If you go up to Santa Clarita and look at the mall, not the mall, but the center of town up there that has a lot of sort of residential and retail and people walk and sit out and it's pleasant.
Yeah, but yeah. Why would you want to go to Santa Clarita?
That is that is so snobby and
okay, for people who can't see, they both have their boxing gloves on.
That is
and,
so
and
mean.
Steve and Brooke are duking it out, play by play.
You know, Santa Clarita, you can still get a house for under a million.
What's that, MMA? You guys got to do that, right?
Yeah,
what's that,
mixed martial arts.
Yeah, but they only let, what's the other one?
There's a man and a woman fighting.
Yeah, you got to do the,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So what's the future for you? You're going to continue to do the same thing?
Philanthropy really excites me. We have 10 people on our team. We've expanded from 2 people to 10 people in the last year and a half. My goal is to hire another 5 or 6 sales partners. So if there's any agents.
Wait, let me stop you. What's happened in the last year and a half that's changed so much?
I decided to grow my team so we could give more to philanthropy. That's what happened. So we were turning down a lot of business. People would ask us to list their homes in areas outside the Palisades, and we would turn them down. And now that I have a team to support it, we are able to service that business. So we have listings now in Beverly Hills and in Encino and in Sherman Oaks and in Marina Del Rey.
There was a long time when Anthony suffered with not wanting to delegate, and it was a small shop, and he controlled everything, and you had plenty of business to take care of your family. And I remember when you started growing your team, it was not because your family didn't have enough cash. It was because you wanted to see what kind of impact you could have with this philanthropy thing. And I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, Lauren in our office, she got her sales license 90 days ago, and within 2 weeks of getting her sales license, closed escrow on her first sales transaction with our support and mentorship, and she was able to write a $7,000 check to PATH for homelessness as a 23-year-old.
Which changes her life forever.
Absolutely, because then you're modeling the behavior.
Yeah.
And she sees how good the feeling is and how much she's helping other people. It's a fantastic feeling. So we want to grow our team and be able to give even more. And hopefully any real estate agents or mortgage brokers or insurance agents that are listening to this, I highly encourage you to give 10% back. And I'm happy to share anything we've done that will help you to
do
that.
Now, can they get in touch with you?
Yes, they can.
And where's the best place to do that?
My cell phone number. I'm happy
to. What's your website?
Okay.
You don't want to be giving out your cell phone.
I don't mind. AmalfiEstates.com.
AmalfiEstates.
AmalfiEstates.com. And we've seen hundreds of brokers throughout the country are starting to give 10% back, and we love it.
It's great.
That's so cool.
It's a great role model.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And with
that,
guys,
I think we've covered it all.
Steve, Brooke,
Anthony.
Awesome, Anthony.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
We know the joy of giving is its own reward. But who says you can't get something for yourself, too? Now when you buy Vanilla MasterCard gift cards, you can enter to win one of over 10 prizes every week for 10 weeks, including a grand prize of $10,000 in Vanilla gift cards. So, get gifting and start sharing the delight for more chances to win. Go to get-gifting.com to learn more and enter for your chance to win. Cards are issued by the Bancorp Bank and MetaBank, members FDIC, pursuant to license by MasterCard International Incorporated, and may be used in the U.S. everywhere debit MasterCard is accepted. Terms and conditions apply. Cards distributed and serviced by Income Financial Services, Inc., which is licensed as a money transmitter by the New York State Department of Financial Services, and MLS ID number 912772.